I've got the privilege of dealing with the section in Philippians chapter 3, verses 10 to 4, verse 1. So if you have your Bibles with you, it would be very helpful to open them to that passage as we read that, and then we'll look at it together. So we'll read the passage first, Philippians chapter 3, starting at verse 10. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, so that somehow to attain to the resurrection of the dead. Not that I have already attained all this, or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining forward to what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us who are mature should take this such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. Join with others in following my example, brothers, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you. For as I have often told you before and now say again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, and their glory is their shame, their mind is on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Saviour from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. Therefore, my brothers, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, that is how you should stand firm in the Lord, dear friends. Let's pray. God, we know that we cannot understand your word without the aid of your Holy Spirit. So we pray that his presence will indeed open our hearts, our ears, our minds to receive the truth of your word and to apply it in our life to the best of our abilities. Thank you so much for it, and we pray that as we study it now, you'll be teaching us things both new and old that we can grow in our appreciation and love of our Lord and Saviour. In his name we pray. Amen. Well, none of you probably know this, but yesterday we had a federal elections. No, that's not true, is it? There was such pressure on, I don't know if you felt it, but there was such pressure on for who to vote, Labor or Liberal, Rudd or Abbott. We know who won, don't we? In my thinking, the lazy spoil the good in Labor's socialism, and the greedy spoil the good in Liberal's capitalism. So anyway, we seesaw backwards and forward as a country between the two. But the election pressure is not just who to vote for, is it? It's also who to vote against. Who do you want to put last? I mean, seriously, who'd really want Mad Uncle Clive in power? Or the Australian Sex Party? Who would want them there? Or what about Robbo the Yobbo heading up the Australian Hemp Party? Help end marijuana prohibition. Sounds like the bloke to run the land, doesn't it? Elections are hard, not just to put who to put first, but who to put last. To be a Christian is to have Jesus as your leader. As Christians, we have him as our leader. And if we have him in power, and if he is our leader, we will never regret it. He's a leader you will never regret having in power. But in having Jesus in power in our life, there's also something that we need to reflect on. And it's very significant. Having Jesus in power, in voting for Jesus, we are putting ourselves last. It's like the old joy principle, isn't it? Jesus first, others, yourself last. In giving Jesus the authority, we are intentionally giving up our own authority. This is radical and it is tough for us to do. It doesn't come naturally. It doesn't come easily. But this is what we do. So just as with Labor and Liberal, there are these two templates for government, So as Christians, we have two templates by which we can live. And the first template is the Jesus template, and then there is our natural template. One we endorse and live by, the other we reject and work hard to eradicate. See, our natural template is to live now and then die. But the Jesus template reverses that. The Jesus template is die now and then live. It sounds crazy, I know. Putting Jesus in power, we are actually actively voting against ourselves. To give Jesus control is to relinquish control. So let's look at the two templates. The first one is the Christian template. We're in Philippians chapter 3, and Paul has made this big deal about he personally has switched templates. Last week we saw, and Steve did a great job in showing us how he was in the live now and die model. He was very proud of his impressive list of credentials, very proud of his own works righteousness, very down on inferior people, on those losers who were beneath his clean living standards. He was very against such people. But by God's grace, Paul had his eyes opened and he saw his living God as God sees him. He saw that all of his works to please God were actually stinking garbage. Or as Steve put it, a big poo. God opens his eyes and he saw, and Paul saw that all of his pathetic attempts at getting right with God were wrong. And can I say right up front, I really hope that is the situation in each one of your lives as well. I hope none of you are thinking you are impressing God by what you're doing. I hope none of you think that your religion, that your living standards, that your clean nose is good enough to please God. I hope, like Paul, that you've come to realise that you don't present your works to God on a platter for credit. I hope you realise that we all come to God naked and with nothing but the name of the Lord Jesus, his Son. We plead his righteousness, not our religion. Paul knows that only faith in Jesus produces righteousness. He knows his only standing before God, his holy judge, is the work of Jesus. I hope you know that too. So Jesus is the template we strive for, and it's the template that we die now that we might live. And we see this in verse 10. Paul says, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain the resurrection from the dead. That's the Christian template. That's what we're signing up for. All that counts is to know Christ, to be identified with Christ, to be found in Christ. His template is our template. His template is the V of humiliation now, followed by glory. It's the V of death now, followed by life. It's suffering now, satisfaction then. See what I mean? If Jesus is in power in our life, you voted against yourself. It sounds like a terrible template, doesn't it? Cross now, then the crown. That is the Christian template. Put yourself to death, then you will live. And there's no other way. There is no other way of living. If you refuse the cross, you lose the crown. See, the Garden of Gethsemane is something that is a battle that we all face. It's the battle of authentic Christianity, putting ourselves to death in order to be raised in Christ. Do you want to know Christ? Then it's the road of the cross that is in front of you. So masochists, they inflict pain on themselves because they're mad. They, for some reason, they hurt themselves because they find pain pleasurable. I just don't get that. But we want to know Christ. We want to know the fellowship of his sufferings. We want to be conformed to his death, not because we're masochists, not because we find pain pleasurable. We do it because we desire the resurrection. We desire something greater. The road to glory is through personal humility. For Jesus to increase and live in us, it requires that we decrease and die to self. To gain his life is to sign our own death warrant. It's a tough road. That's why this knowing Christ is bracketed at the beginning and end. Paul brackets this. Look at it. I want to know the power of his resurrection. And he ends the same sentence. I want to attain the resurrection. He brackets this difficult teaching about the humility, the downward path, with the hope of resurrection, because that's what we're after. It's the living, conquering, reigning Jesus that gives us confidence as we follow this template of death now, then life. As one old Christian described it, he said, it's like getting through a hedge. I don't know if you've ever tried to do this, get through blackberry bush or something like that. He said, if Christ our head is through the hedge, well, what matter if his body get some cuts and scratches as we go through following him? Because we know our head is through, he's got through, he's in glory, we can suffer as his body as we are dragged through to that position of glory. It's a good way of thinking about it. If Jesus is in power in your life, then the way of the cross is the path, and that is the path we are to imitate. Okay, before we all want to go home really sad and gloomy, let's look at the other template. It's worth knowing the other template. The other template, we know it very well. It is live now, then die. Winston Churchill once famously said, democracy is the worst form of government, except all the other forms that have been tried from time to time. Very wise man. The same can be said for Christianity. The Christian template, the way of the cross, it can seem the worst way, except unless you look at the other template. Let's consider the alternative. The alternative is found in verse 18. Live now, then die. Look what Paul says. For I have often told you before, and now I say again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach, their glory in their shame. Their mind is on earthly things. Live now, then death. That's the alternative to the way of the cross. Your choice. I watched a YouTube clip of an old man who lost his wife just recently, and he wrote a song about the loss of his wife. And one of the sentences in the lyrics, it's so sad. It goes, life only goes around once and never again. That's the alternative template. Live now, then death. Paul, with tears in his eyes, says their destiny is destruction, and many live this way. Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. The natural pattern, it's an inverted V, isn't it? It's live now, then death. It's an escalator. It's an escalator going nowhere. Enjoy the ride because you drop off at the end. This template has its attraction, though, doesn't it? It's what we know. It's what we experience. It's what we see. The skill of this template is that you forget about the end. You block it out. You don't think about where you end up. Have all the fun you can have now. Grab what you can get today. For some, that's just living the big parties, isn't it? That's living from weekend to weekend. That's maxing out the credit card. Sex, drugs, and rock and roll. For others, it's more subtle. It's the bowerbird syndrome. It's collect as much stuff as we can. How much stuff can we accumulate? How much comfort? How much security? How much impressive and respectable family can we get? How many degrees? And how about a killer superannuation? Collecting, bowerbird syndrome. It looks wise. It can be fun. Let's eat and drink. But it's just a thin veneer covering utter despair. For the unspoken end of that sentence is tomorrow we die. Tomorrow we die. There's no post-retirement plan. Life goes around once and never again. Why do you have to party hard now? Why do you have to grab that sex, that promotion, that money, that opportunity now? Why do you have to trample over others for the sake of your career? Because if your template is live now, then death, well, death is in charge. Death is always whispering, if you don't grab it now, you will never have it. And that's the pattern of a world without hope, isn't it? It's joyful on the outside. It looks so bright and happy. But it's utter despair at its core. And Paul says with tears in his eyes, their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach, and they glory in their shame, and their mind is on earthly things. Many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. They live as if they're good enough to make it on their own before their judge. They live as if Jesus doesn't count. Enemies of the cross think they're good enough to go it alone. They're full of pride. They boast in their own abilities. They're confident of their own skill set. Full of pride. Just like Paul was. Boasting in his own righteousness. Boasting in his own credentials. I'll be right. I'm good. They're not denying themselves. They're not taking up their cross. They're not following Christ. They're doing the reverse. They're indulging themselves, despising the cross, and ignoring Christ. So that's the two templates we have in front of us. There's the cross, and then the crown. And there is the let us eat and drink now, for tomorrow we die. As has been famously said, you are no fool to give up what you cannot keep, to gain what you cannot lose. And Proverbs, that book of wisdom, says there is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is death. That's the way we're to reject. Don't choose that way, says Paul. Choose eternal life over this temporary existence. It's tough, but choose the cross. Live as a fan, live as a friend, live as a diehard supporter of the glorious cross. See, I don't want life. I want eternal life. And I have and I will go on laying down my life in order to get that. My citizenship is in heaven. It's not here on earth. My hope is in a Saviour who will return, who will transform my lowly body into one glorious body like his own. Join with me in this struggle to reject this life-then-death template. Join with me in running this glorious hope of the V-shaped life that Jesus has opened up for us. Die now in order to live. Humility now, then glory. Death, then life. Shame now, satisfaction then. Down first, then up. Strain every muscle you have to live like that, to run like an athlete. Don't let anything move you from the great resurrection hope that Jesus has already won for us. It's not a one-off decision, friends. This is not something that you do once back in the distant past and then you just live happily. This is a decision that needs to be taken every day of your life, every minute of your life. Paul says he dies daily as a Christian. He dies daily. That's what we're doing. You have to die daily. Every decision you make, is it going to be humiliation followed by exaltation, or is it going to be grab what you can get now? That is the battle. That is what we are straining every muscle to achieve. Think about the areas in your life where you are grabbing and grasping, and think about changing. Are you stepping on others to get what you want? Are you listening to that whispering lie that says if you don't get it, you will miss out for all eternity? In your personal life, are there points where you are being tempted to grab? Or even worse, you are actually grabbing? Are you grabbing that sex that you can have right now instead of waiting in faithfulness? Are you binging on food and DVDs? The gospel says more than cut it out. The gospel has a better hope. It liberates you from living that way. To reject the grasping desire of earthly things. We're not locked into an existence. We're no longer on that template of live now, then death. Jesus has opened up a new template for us. The template that's before us is that we dance to his tune. We die now in order to gain eternal life. See, Christianity can look so prickly on the outside, can't it? It can look so unattractive. It can look so hard. But Christianity is hard. It has an unbelievable and unstoppable joy. We've got it all. Because Christ is risen. We have life in him. Yes, the path is the cross, then the crown. But isn't that a joy? There's a crown. It's death, then life. But who in their right mind would go and throw away the pearl of great price for plastic beads? Who would do that? So here's some tips to stay on track, because as believers, we need all the tips and pointers we can get. First one, it's a race. See verse 12? Paul says, I haven't already attained all this. I haven't already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ took hold of me. I don't consider myself to have already got there. One thing I do, forgetting what's behind, straining forward to what's ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. The Christian life is like a race. Last week, I ran the bridge to Brisbane. You knew this would come up, didn't you? Yeah, it's bound to. 2 million people in Brisbane, 41,000 ran the race. I was one of the chosen ones. So was Steve and Rach and Sarah. My goal was to beat Rachel and Sarah their time. I managed that, so I'm very proud of myself. I didn't run because I wanted to be a competitor. I didn't run because I wanted to remain a competitor. I ran because I already was a competitor. I'd signed up weeks earlier, and that's how it is for us as Christians. The reason we are on this crossroad is because Jesus has signed us up already. We're not running the Christian life because